Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
BTS out back on the fan on this Monday. We'll get back to your calls here in just a sec. 888-808-1019. Reset a little bit here, BT, real quick. We've been talking some baseball, reacting to the breaking news with Anthony Santander signing with the Blue Jays for 5 years, as Heyman says, over $90 million. So we'll see what the exact details are there and how that pertains to the Mets, meaning with Pete Alonso and or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But the talk of the day has been the NFL postseason from yesterday, whether it's Lamar Jackson, the Ravens' decisions, Sean McDermott and the Bills' decisions, Josh Allen, obviously the Washington football team doing a tremendous job, Commanders getting the win with Jaden Daniels. And I guess the most shocking result, but I'm not really shocked that there was a big upset this weekend. But if you had to pick one to go down, it is disappointing. The poor Lions fans, the number one, I know they've been ravaged by injury, but the number one seed, the fact that they lost that game and really got their asses kicked
in
the game. Yeah.
They got absolutely drilled. I don't know how you recover from that one. I mean, that is a fan base that, like, we think we have the toughest Jet fans.
Yeah.
And we definitely do. But historically, they have it far worse. Like, you know, they never made a Super Bowl. Well, what was it, 50, was it 57 or 58? Before the Super Bowl was even born, they played in that game, and that's it. And, you know, I used to go to games at the Silverdome when I worked there. It was one of my early radio jobs, like I've told you. And their fans are great, and they get no reward. You know, I know the last couple of years have certainly been energizing and more fun, but in a lot of ways, it's more painful when you win all the games that they did and you're big favorites at home against a rookie quarter, and you're supposed to win this. And if you do, you host the next week to go to the Super Bowl and you get your doors just destroyed.
It's brutal in the moment, and it's also got to be discouraging moving forward because Jaden Daniels isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You think maybe the NFC competition is going to get a little bit better moving forward, a healthy Niners team. Like, the path was really there for the Lions. They had the one seed. I know they were banged up. And also now, as Bogus just mentioned in the report, like, they're going to lose, in all likelihood, both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be tough for Dan Campbell to keep things together with Detroit and maintain that high level and eventually break through and get to a Super Bowl.
I agree. And the other thing, too, is, like, when you have a situation like this, and again, Jared Goff is obviously good, but he's not that guy. And he never has been, he never will be. And when you have a season like this where the circumstances are so perfect, then you have a player like Jared, who is your quarterback, you have to punch through. Like, at least, and I know this isn't great solace now for the Raven fan today, but, like, at least the Raven fan can wake up and say, all right, we got Lamar. He's going to probably win 5 MVPs when it's all said and done.
Right.
We'll be back. All right. I don't know if they will be, but they can at least rationalize inwardly that it's not over. If you're a Lions fan, yeah, you enjoyed rooting for Jared Goff this year, and you appreciated what he and last year, and you appreciated what he did for you. But now I think it's the real awakening that the limitation is and listen, they also gave up almost 50 points.
Yeah.
It's not all his fault, but he played awful.
Also, I would say that on the heels of losing the coaches, like Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the year, so you look at the Lions, it's their offense, their scheme, to me, that has been so great. Now, they have weapons all over the field, sure,
yep.
But does that scheme change, and how does that impact them as a team moving forward? Maybe they're going to be better defensively next year because they'll get some health back, and just, you would think, tighten things up with only getting guys back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But does the offense take a significant step back under a new coordinator?
I don't think so, Sal.
Even if it is a disciple of Johnson, he's still not him.
Yeah, and plus you think about even if the schematics are the same, and I don't know that they will be, but they could be, but the instinct on when to call what from a play call perspective, you can't take Johnson's brain, so you can map it up on the chalkboard. Hey, guys, they wouldn't do this, but we're literally doing the same thing. But now you're in a game, and things are moving fast, and it's 3rd and 7, and Johnson may have been thinking about doing this. And the new guy says, no, I think that this will work better, and then who knows how it plays out. Listen, I do think that, first of all, I'm on St. Brown is terrific. They've got an outstanding running game. Penei Sewell is one of the best left tackles in football. They've got a really good tight end. Like, they've got some real components where the offense is going to be really good for years. But now, you know, the magic formula, that might dissipate. Who knows?
We'll get back to the calls here, but I do want to get to the quarterback conversation that we were going to have before, but we got interrupted by the Santander news.
Mm.
Which quarterback situations around the league are we comfortable with?
Yeah,
we'll do that coming up at 140.
In terms of, which ones? Yeah. It's not like, well, if this happens and that happens, it's like, you know, right now, no matter, boom, this is the absolute guy.
Yeah, like, because we were just talking about in general, like, the quarterback situations around the league really aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones would you love definitively right now? Blake is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Blake?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
I was going to call and talk about the officiating, but I kind of changed my mind. I don't want to be negative. You know, there's always things that you could pick apart in the NFL. It's never going to be perfect. But all in all, man, I had a good weekend. It was a good weekend of football. It was exciting. I think the NFL did a really good job putting a lot of good product on the field. I thought all four games were very interesting, intriguing. The halftime score, that Detroit-Washington game, was like the final score. So a lot of scoring, a lot of touchdown. And, you know, I look forward to this weekend coming up. I as a Giant fan, I probably root for Washington over the Eagles.
Mm.
I'd like to see Buffalo. I'd like to see Buffalo versus Washington, mix it up a little bit. That'd be pretty cool. I doubt it's going to happen. I think it'll probably be a rematch between Philly and KC. But all in all, instead of calling and complaining, I just thought it was good, man. Good weekend of football.
Yeah, boy, Blake. Yeah. Nice.
It was a good weekend of football. Better than wild card round.
I feel like, you know, after the, and I said to Sal, like, I love the wild card weekend. It's my favorite. Because there's just so many things happening. Now, you know, a lot of duds, but most people love divisional more than wild card, which I obviously understand.
Mm-hmm.
But like for me, this point moving forward, I don't know. I feel like for me, there's a little bit of a drop off in, and it shouldn't be this way. I don't know why I am like this. The realization the season's ending.
Yeah.
And
there are three games left.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And the Super Bowl is just, it's a game that,
yep.
It's unlike any other game you watch during the year. It's like the whole dog and pony show.
The glorified exhibition that means the most.
Yeah, true. Concerts, I don't care about. I don't watch them. That's when I go look at second half bets or go have another drink or finish a conversation with friends. If I'm watching it with people, I don't know. I just don't get too wrapped up into all the stuff around the Super Bowl. But what it tells me, baseball's coming.
Yeah.
And that's what excites me. But we do have two good ones coming up next week with football.
Yeah, you have it's interesting that he brought up from a Giants fan perspective, he would be rooting for Washington over Philadelphia.
You have to.
Yeah, I get it. You can't root for Philadelphia under any circumstance, but you don't want to root for Washington either. And by the way, Washington may be more dangerous moving forward because of Jaden Daniels.
No, I don't think there's much may about it. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a problem for the Giants for 15 years. There's no, I don't know that Jalen Hurts is going to be a problem for three more years for the Giants.
Right.
Like, I think that's very fluid there. He's just not quite the same. Jaden Daniels is special, and the Giants going to have to deal with this for a long time.
Is there
luck.
A matchup you prefer to see in the Super Bowl?
I want to see the Bills. I'm a little Mahomes down, and I love Patrick Mahomes. I really do. I love Andy Reid, and I love the Chiefs fans. And I'm getting tired of the whole Taylor Swift thing. Enough of this. Enough. I'm getting
Caitlin
tired.
Clark
I'm getting tired
was
of
there yesterday.
I know. I'm getting tired of the Kelce brothers. Don't need you anymore. Just get lost. Overexposed. I'm tired. I'm done with it. I would love to, and it sucks because they're in my division, and I'm supposed to hate the Bills. And I guess a part of me does, but like the Bills fan has been so tormented over the years, much like the Jet fan. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a relatability for me. I want to see the Bills in the Super Bowl. So I would say Bills.
I don't like either side in the NFC myself.
I would say Bills. I think Bills-Eagles would be the most appealing.
Yeah.
In terms of like the platinum matchup. I think Bills-Commanders to me would. I'm going to go Bills-Eagles. There's too many stories. Saquon, there's just too much going
on. Probably agree with that. Not that I'd be rooting for the Bills necessarily or picking them, but I do think just having them in the Super Bowl would be a tremendous story.
Great fans.
Getting them back in the Super Bowl. And then, does it really matter? Because the Bills would be the focal point, but the better matchup, you would think. I don't know. I mean, Daniels is special, but a rookie quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think if he plays well, think about how that only enhances what he already is. Like, Dan Marino got there right away, didn't win it, but Was it a bit of a foreshadow of Dan's career? Not in terms of never winning, but just how amazing he was?
I got to be honest with you. I can't stand Dan Quinn. So the fact that Dan Quinn could be in think about this. Dan Quinn has the opportunity to be a head coach, one of the rare head coaches to take two franchises.
Yeah, and you still tell me he stinks.
To the Super Bowl.
I don't know why you tell me this.
Think about that. Dan Quinn? I mean, let's go, Hoff, if you could maybe look up the list at some point here.
To take two teams.
Parcells obviously did it. Uh-huh. Mike Holmgren comes to mind. Dan Reeves did it.
Was he with the
Baltimore?
Colts,
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
So then he did it with Miami,
and the Dolphins,
obviously.
Yeah, a couple times, yeah.
You're talking about some big-time names to do it. I mean, we have to get the full list of others. Andy Reid, obviously, did it with Philadelphia.
Holmgren?
And now, I mentioned Holmgren before.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear
Seattle.
Okay. Yep.
Seattle and Green Bay.
Who else?
Gruden didn't do it with the Raiders.
Seifert didn't get there with Carolina, did he? I know he got there with the Niners after Walsh.
He did not get there with Carolina,
are you sure?
I don't think.
Wait, who was the coach of
didn't they lose that year?
I'm saying just getting to they got to the Super
John
Bowl.
John Fox was
that's right, it was that, yeah, I knew that didn't make sense. I didn't think
right?
that made sense.
No, I think it was John Fox.
I think it was Fox too.
I don't know. But anyway, point is Dan Quinn.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, maybe you could come around and give the guy some respect.
He blew a 28-3 late third quarter lead. I'll never give him the respect that he thinks he should be getting here. But I don't think now look, he's gotta get there and it's gonna be tough beating the Eagles. I can't stand Sirianni. Barkley has been an absolute beast, obviously.
Oh,
I think the best matchup is the Bills versus the Barkleys.
Did you see how cold the handshake was yesterday with Sirianni post-game?
No. And who? I missed it. With
It was in and out.
With McVay?
Yes. No, McVay just kept moving.
That's a shame that McVay didn't beat him.
He just kept moving.
Rams played a good game,
they
too.
They did. That was a fun. Those uniforms are great.
Yeah. All right, let's get one more call in here. Joel is in Highland. What's up, Joel?
How you doing, Sal?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I'm a big Steeler fan, and I'm happy that the Ravens lost. I don't like them at all. And I think Harbaugh's a little too much sometimes. But I think even if they had not gone for the two-point conversion earlier and it was only a one-point lead and it was a seven-point lead when they scored the touchdown, I still think he was going for the two-point conversion because he always seems to do that.
Well, as BT said before, it could have been about circumstance as well, Joel, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in, where whether what your team has to work with. If I have Lamar, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances with a two-point conversion the majority of the time. I know it's difficult or certainly more difficult than the extra point, but I feel like you would, here we go. We got the list here. I feel like with Lamar, the chances
Thanks,
go
Dolph.
Up. So if I'm Harbaugh, I would consider it more often. I don't like chasing points, but if he did it because he thought that that was the better opportunity there, then I'm okay with it. All right. So we got most of these guys here. You ready, BT? You want me to name them?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is the head coach is to take two different franchises Super Bowls. Don Shula, good call by you with Baltimore.
Yeah.
Parcells we had. Reeves we had, obviously did it with Denver and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Vermeil was one that we forgot about.
I think that's the most interesting one.
Yeah.
Because think about, look at the 19 years apart. Philly was in 80, St. Louis was in 99.
I mean, that's
And
insane.
Two very different styles.
Holmgren we had.
Yep.
John Fox, you
we
mentioned
We got around
Seifert.
To eventually
yeah, yeah.
got there. I
Fox
messed up with
Fox did it
Seifert,
with Denver and Manning in 2013 and 10 years prior with Carolina in 2003. Was Kerry Collins there? Who was 03, the quarterback in Carolina?
Oh, Dome.
No. Was
that Jake DeHolm?
Was it Cam? Yeah.
It was.
Good call.
Yeah, I got you.
And they
on that.
Lost to New England.
Yeah,
good call,
that.
Jake DeHolm.
That's
and then Andy
right
Reid,
there.
Of course. That is a good pull. Jake DeHolm, forgot about him. I'm thinking Cam Newton.
I know.
Collins did make it to a championship game, though, with the Panthers early in their existence.
Yes.
No?
Very early.
Maybe they lost
if I'm
the
not mistaken.
Oh,
like, I mean, like, very, very early.
They lost to either one of the perennials, the Packers, Cowboys, or Niners. I forget the year. And anyway, Andy Reid. So Reid, Fox, Holmgren, Vermeil, Reeves, Parcells, Shula. And potentially Dan Quinn? Come on.
Well, I mean, listen, the fact that everyone's a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, well, Fox isn't in the Hall of Fame, and Reed's still coaching.
Is Reeves in? He should be if he's not.
Oh, Reeves, he has to be in the Hall of Fame.
Fox is
well, Hall of Well, Reeves fan? Also played, too.
Yeah.
I don't think Fox is in, no. Andy Reid will be. So, you know, Shula, Parcells, Vermeil, and Reid eventually. So at least five out of the six will be. I mean, even if you don't love Quinn, and I know you don't, I mean, that's like being on a list with DiMaggio, Ted Williams. I mean, maybe not quite to that, but you know what I'm saying.
It's also
like,
circumstance. He was handed a golden goose in Atlanta, and then this year with Jaden Daniels.
Come on. Well, listen, I think if anything, you should elevate what he did because of just how moribund the Commanders have been forever.
I'll make you
been the Giants.
I'll make you a deal. Now, I'll never, ever forgive him for 28-3.
I'm not saying that you should.
That's the singular worst loss in the history of football. That is the worst loss in the history of the sport because it was a huge blown lead in the biggest game possible.
And you were sitting there with your ex-girlfriend, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No,
didn't you tell
wife.
Me that story? Oh, it was your wife. It was.
And her friend. She brought her friend.
Oh, that's what it was. That's where you...
I'll never forgive her for that.
Yes.
You mind if my friend watches the game with us? I'm like, yeah, I guess.
She can watch on the roof. Yeah. I can't. I'll tell you, if the... you think I'm like, people think I'm nuts. Like, we do a lot of things at the Super Bowl in town, a lot of friends and stuff. If the Jets are in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
I'm locking myself in seclusion.
I know.
Because I will rip somebody's head off.
I know.
If I'm watching the game and they're talking about something stupid, there's no way I would do that.
I still can't believe it.
Just me and my son.
That's how it...
And if I convert my daughter eventually, she's the Cowboys fan for Bobby from Dallas. If she joins the green and white, she can come too.
I'll give you this. If Dan Quinn, and he's done a nice job this year. I don't know if I'd give him coach of the year. I think Sean Payton did a great job with Bo Nix.
You got to give it to Campbell, don't you? I know what happened the other night, but it's a regular season award.
I mean, I it's a regular season award. Usually, though, it would go to guys who kind of came out of nowhere, right? Elevated their team. I think the Lions were expected to be, you know, if not the top team, one of the top teams. I mean, heck, Sirianni should be involved. The Eagles were great. I think Sean Payton myself, but I could certainly see Dan Quinn. Anyway, if he does figure out a way to win this game on the road, I have to, like, dial back a little bit saying how awful he is.
What if he loses a close one as teams prepare? No, hold on. This goes against, what we talked about with the quarterbacks.
Well, I'm only kind of throwing that out there because I don't think they're going to win the game out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Commanders actually getting to the Super Bowl this year. Hey, crazy things happen. We saw with Eli going on those two incredible runs.
Yeah.
I just feel like with that head coach, with that rookie quarterback...
Down for so long.
Yeah, they go right from 0 to 100.
But we knew they had good players.
Yeah.
They always had a big, stout D-line, even when they stunk. You know, you had McLaurin's, you could run it. Like, they had some weapons. I mean, that would be about as close to a shock, though, all things considered, that I've seen the NFL in a long time, if they get there.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We didn't vent about the Dodgers yet after they
get
Sasaki.
Well, I'm not going to vent. I got no problem. Yeah.
Really?
We might have a little good old-fashioned debate, me versus you.
I like it.
Let's go.
Have that discussion when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Oh, yeah!
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls. 888-808-1019.
I want to put any pressure on you guys, Hoff. This applies to you as well. I know you're doing something, but you got to perk up with those ears. This is for you two.
Okay?
So, I've been waiting on this. I think a lot of St. John's fans have been waiting on this. The latest AP Top 25. A lot of people have been confounded. Even like Ed Cooley, coach of other schools, saying, how is St. John's not ranked?
Right.
Well, the newest rankings just came out. They're inside the top 25. They are the highest ranking they've had since 2014.
Wow.
They're number 20. So,
all right.
You know, first place alone in the Big East, number 20. The good vibes continue.
Heading in the right direction.
And for sure. If you guys come to the game on Wednesday and mess up the St. John's mojo.
Oh, no.
We're going to have a big problem.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I am going to sick everybody on YouTube.
I didn't think about that. I don't want that on me.
Don't ruin the flow.
Hey, Xavier's not that good. They better not screw this up.
No, Xavier's won like five straight. Xavier's getting hot, even though St. John's beat him a couple of weeks back. And St. John's won 11 of 12. When you two knuckleheads sitting courtside, if they lose that game, and not on Patino or Kadari or RJ Lewis, it's on you.
No, I don't want to hear that. And then what, we're going to be invited back?
Well, that's the starting
point. I got my St. John's
hoodie
ready
given.
To go.
Then we revoke any privileges.
I thought Xavier's not
privileges.
That good. I wanted to go to a cupcake gimme.
I'm just telling you.
We weren't there the other night.
They're
right. They couldn't do anything in the first half against Georgetown. And it wasn't on us. And lucky they came back and won that game.
They won the game.
I expect full. What's the line in the Xavier game? You have any idea?
Usually with the hoops, it'll be out the day before, which would be tomorrow. I'm going to guess it opens around 7.5 or so. Xavier's actually playing, and they have a very good coach.
All right.
So,
but noted.
I'm just saying, hey, like, make sure you guys bring a win.
We're coming to the
Otherwise,
garden.
There's a correlation.
We're coming to the garden. We're coming in hot.
Okay.
We expect to get a win.
That's all I needed to hear.
All right. Let's get to the Dodgers here for a second. So, obviously, the Dodgers' Roky Sasaki decides to go there. Disgusting. And then they signed Tanner Scott over the weekend to a point where my friend told me the news. I was like, come on. No, really. He's like, no. The Dodgers and Tanner Scott, like, what are we doing here? My initial instinct was it's bad for the game.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think, like, now at least we have a common bond both Mets fans, Yankee fans, I mean, really all baseball fans outside of the Dodgers, to take them down. And I do think, BT, when you try to build teams like this, it generally doesn't work out. They won the World Series a year ago, but now it's just like, enough is enough. Guys on top of guys on top. It's like, come on. It's ridiculous.
They might win 115 games this year.
I would take the field. Yeah, I mean.
They really might. That starting rotation is absolutely gross.
Yeah.
Gross!
I mean, I guess. I've seen bigger and better go down. I know, but come on. Like.
Okay, I do agree. We are now in alignment, and they are the evil empire, and
yes.
Now we got to take them down.
Yes,
I also think it's great for the sport when you have a villain. See, one of the problems with baseball, once the Yankees are in terms of being beyond reproach and kind of outspending people and getting everybody that they wanted over the years, once that went away, there was nobody to hate. Because the Red Sox, you know, their tortured past was so well chronicled. I think that there was so many people over the years who felt badly for the Red Sox and how they lost in the most excruciating fashion, whether it's 86 against you, whether it's 78 against the Yankees, with Bucky taking Torres deep to left. So I don't think it was the same hate towards the Red Sox. Now it's coming back, and I think that that's good. I think when you have a superpower team, it makes any time they're vulnerable better for the sport.
Here's how much they have become the villain in my mind, and I say this honestly here, if it were Dodgers-Yankees World Series, without a doubt.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
Without a doubt, I'm rooting for the Yankees.
Oh, he said it.
Yeah. Now, last year was different, and I think it was more so because I didn't believe in the Yankees. So, like, my pick and my logic was all toward the Dodgers. Now it's different. I feel like the Dodgers, all right, they'd already won the World Series. They've taken it too far, and even though I grew up, quote unquote, hating the Yankees and a Mets fan, like I'm beyond that in my life.
Yeah.
I can certainly understand Mets fans being like, oh, no way, I'd still root for the Dodgers. I will not. If it is Dodgers, Yankees again, I want them down. I want it to be proven that you cannot just go out there and get all the best players and the cheap way that they've gotten all these players from Japan over there. Like, I can't stand it. So I will root for the Yankees to smash the Dodgers in the event that they go head-to-head.
Wow.
Now,
that will make it even more powerful.
Now,
it's like when Obi-Wan says, take me out, and then the robe.
Now,
the Yankees, who are not nearly as talented as the Dodgers, if the Yankees were to beat the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are healthy and massive favorites, think about how that just elevates the Yankees even more. You want that?
Yeah, but it would be great. Yes, I don't care. I think it would be great to take down.
You're a better man
like
than me. I don't know that I could do that.
Now, for that to happen, the Dodgers are going to have to get through Juan Soto's Mets.
Well, right now, it seems like it's going to be the first round wild card.
We'll see.
I mean, be that
we'll
hard.
See. We'll see.
Are you guys going to do anything else? I think we're going to get Tanner Scott.
We'll see how they fare. What? I think the big bad Dodgers on paper and all those different things, they look different than maybe in reality. Last year, they had their mojo. They were great. They won it.
Dude, they were
Let's see if they're as hungry. Let's see if they stay healthy. Let's see if Ohtani, the pitcher, is this big bad. Well, I've seen him before. I'm not afraid of Ohtani.
No. I mean, the Yankees lit him up in the Bronx many times. You couldn't think one time, but he didn't make it out of first inning a couple years ago.
Not scared of Blake Snell either. Sasaki hasn't pitched yet.
I mean, they got a lot of arms.
Yamamoto.
Sasaki,
okay.
Yamamoto. I don't
think it's a Tanner Scott. I've seen him.
Here's the problem. Those guys might not be like Fernando Valenzuela in 81, but you know, their third, fourth, fifth best pitchers going against other, not just the Mets, the Braves, the Phillies, whomever of the Cubbies, the Giants, whomever else might be competitive. I mean, they're so much better than most of those other teams' aces.
Yeah, I get that. But they almost lost last year, and they only won one real World Series since 1988. Like, I'm not counting 2020. So they're as loaded as you could be on paper. If I had to bet right now.
Yep, you going to field?
Sal, you pick a World Series winner, Dodgers or the field, I'm taking the field. Without hesitation. Matter of fact, I'll narrow it down from the field to like three or four teams to make it even more fair.
What are the odds on that?
Yeah.
I'd have to see the odds before I made that bet. My first instinct is that I would be inclined to bet the Dodgers. And I usually, baseball is different. You're right. Baseball is unique. You really don't know with baseball. It's not the NBA where the best team generally shows up and wins. But this team's different. I don't know that we will ever have seen on paper, going into a season, a team like this.
Yeah,
that includes the A's who went back to back to back in the early 70s. That's some of the best. Now, maybe before our lifetime, you want to go back to like the Mantles and some of these powerful Yankee teams. Maybe some older fans can weigh in on that. Not even on the calls. We don't have a lot of time for that. But I don't know a team that has ever trotted out a more imposing, you know, 1 through 25. And I haven't seen that team.
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers just seemingly continue to expand their roster spot. I don't know how they have all these guys on their team, but they do. We'll see how it works out for him. I can't wait. You're right, though. Initially, I'm like, yeah, this is bad for baseball. It is going to be good for baseball because now there's intrigue to what the Dodgers do on a daily basis, on a nightly basis.
Yes.
Win total 102.5, I think it was, before Tanner Scott. Yeah, so, well, we'll see. I'm going to probably bet the under just on principle.
Oh, I wouldn't. That's why I could never bet the under. Dude, on that. They're going to win that. They're going to win 110 games with their eyes shut.
Nonsense. It's hard to do that. A lot has to go right.
See, I thought, you know, and I'm a little surprised here. That's why I thought we were going to have one of those knockdown debates, which would have been fine, but we don't want to do anything contrived. So I thought it was going to be natural and organic, which would have been good. I thought you were going to push back hard how it's now like unfair, but that doesn't really fit your personality, so I guess I'm not stunned. I've heard people crying over the weekend, like, I changed the rules. First of all, there's other people who can do this. Hal can do this, and Cohen can do this.
Here's why they can't, though.
Why?
Because the majority of at least my complaint with the Dodgers is the
international stuff.
Yes.
Well, yes, but they could have.
Tanner Scott, whatever. Kiss my ass, Tanner Scott. Like, I don't know what. I'd rather have AJ Minter than him. I think the Mets
like
made
to
a
pick
better
up
move
for
there.
2 years.
Yeah.
Minter's good.
Yeah. But, no, I'm sorry, BT. I was just going to say, like, but the international players going there, the Mets and Yankees couldn't have gotten Ohtani.
I know. He was not coming here, understood, built in, you know, and we talked about it, easier logistically from L.A. to Japan. Got it. They've got the Japanese players there. They've got that on lockdown, and that's a disadvantage right now for the Yanks and Mets and everybody else. However, did the Yankees or the Mets come to the table with an incredibly unique deferment package? I don't think that they did.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And maybe
if they would have been so forward-thinking like the Guggenheim, who invest money so does Steve Cohen, for a living, maybe they just presented something more intelligent.
I don't think Ohtani wanted to be here.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Sasaki wanted to be here. Yamamoto, and I don't think Yamamoto wanted to be here, but let's just say Steve Cohen said, all right, I'm going to put your desire to play in L.A. to the test. Here's $500 million. You know, you're 325, whatever, 425. Like, now, I'm not saying I would have done it. I'm not saying they should have done it. But to your point, like, if the Yankees, Hal, really wanted them, which they didn't, if Steve Cohen really wanted them, which he did, but not maybe to the $400 million, what if they said, here, Yamamoto, here's $400 million? Are the Dodgers going to go to that level?
Well, that's why I was disappointed we didn't get that answer. I kept saying that in real time. I'm like,
you can't be stupid either, though.
No, I know, because then there's a precedence. Now,
and also, 325 was the Yankees and Mets, and I know this, well, I mean, whatever, I've heard this. I shouldn't say no. They didn't want Yamamoto at even that price. Like, it started at 100 and something, 200 something, 250. It went to 300.
Like, why'd they keep playing the game? They felt compelled to throw chips in to pacify their fans? They had to want him on some level because they could have said yes.
Yes. When I say they didn't want him, meaning like almost, and the Yankees did draw the line and say,
but they did have the highest AAV. Yeah,
we want you. This is
on
like,
our terms.
I mean, this is ridiculous, but here it is. Like,
yeah.
So, like, and by the way, if he doesn't take it, it's almost like, okay, good, I'm glad you didn't take it. Or, you know, you don't want to extend so much, so you're almost happy that he takes the decision out of your hands. Otherwise, if he comes back, you're like, oh, all right, we got him, great, but we got him at $300 million. The guy's never thrown a pitch in a big league.
Well, by the way, I think that happens to all of us, and it's all relative, clearly, but I'm sure you could probably relate to this. You moved into your home a year ago, and, you know, we did it 5 years ago, and we looked at we put in a ton of bids all over New Jersey. And there were a couple times where we went a little steeper than I felt comfortable with, but I love the home, I love the area, and my wife did obviously as well. The kids were really young, they had no say anyway, and even if they were, they had no say. But the point being, like, if one of those bids was accepted, I would have been thrilled with maybe a slightly bigger home and maybe a little more property in the yard, whatever it might be, but did I put myself in a little bit more of a precarious, in a precarious position financially? So I get it when you say that they're almost relieved, the Yanks and Mets, that they didn't get them.
Great analogy.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. We did the same thing. And now looking back on something that we like overbid for, and I was like, I don't even want to do this. All right, but this is our best choice.
Yeah, because you're getting so tired of the process getting drawn out.
Exactly. We didn't get it.
Yeah.
And now looking back, I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
So I think that's kind of the case. You hope that that's not the case with Soto,
but
that's kind of the case with Yamamoto.
Anyway, long time.
In summation, screw the Dodgers. Take them down. Mets, Yanks, I don't care who does it.
Hoff, would you root for the Yankees against the Dodgers in the war? See, he's
the
hard because his son's.
Yeah, but I honestly do hate the Dodgers. I am somebody who thinks this is bad for baseball with the Dodgers.
Why?
Are doing.
Why do you think it's bad?
Because, like, I think they're cheating a little bit.
How?
The international is outrageous. The fact that Shohei Ohtani deferred 98% of his contract. There's no other superstar in the game that would do that anywhere else. Like Juan Soto signed a deal for $765 million. He deferred nothing
on it. But Juan Soto doesn't have that international revenue stream.
And that's the point, BT.
But that's not the Dodgers' fault. Ohtani's unique.
Exactly. There's no other player in sports to do that.
Here's the better question, or maybe not the better question, but a different question. If Ohtani didn't go to the Dodgers, would we be seeing Yamamoto and then Sasaki follow? Like, would this be a Dodgers thing if Ohtani stayed with the Angels or went somewhere else?
It's
or
a is good this... one. It seems like it is cyclical, like the Yankees had that on lock, and it was a cycle of, all right, we got Arabu, we get Kayagawa, we got, you know. So maybe the cycle...
How much of it is it Ohtani versus... I know the location is a big factor.
Yeah, but location was a factor back in the day when the Yankees were getting all the Japanese players. It wasn't that much of a factor. I can't answer, but I guarantee that it helps. But that doesn't mean that they're cheating. Here's the bottom line for me. Or even circumventing rules. I mean, I think they're playing it smart. I don't think they're doing anything below board. Maybe I'm being naive with that. Maybe I'm being gullible, huh? But I do think that in totality, baseball's finances are an absolute mess. Like, you need more uniformity. It is just not right.
You wouldn't root for the Mets to beat the Dodgers now?
I rooted for the Mets to beat the Red Sox in 86.
Okay, so you'd root for the Mets to beat the Dodgers then?
Honestly, I would. But I would. Now, Yankee fans aren't going to like. No. First of all, I would root for the Mets against anybody in the World Series. Now, when I say root, I'm not throwing on a Ray Knight jersey, you know. Right. But I want to say, and people don't believe me. I don't care.
Right.
I want the Met fan, not at my expense like in 2000. I want the Met fan to finally enjoy it.
Right.
If I'm out of it, my team, I'm big enough to say that. I think it's a great economic bolster for our city.
Even with Soto going nuts.
Well, that's a different element. I have to see how this year goes. That is a little different.
I know. I get it.
A little different.
BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, get to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
We're having the wine.
Oh, you're drinking. You like the wine?
I like the Pinot Noir there. Yeah, and then I was drinking. They bring over, he's like, oh, I got a suggestion. I'm like, yeah. Whatever it is, that's fine. Bro, what was it off like? Some Josh Jacobs red wine or something?
Michael Phelps, something like that.
So, it was
like
went to Rills too?
Yeah, I didn't
think he was going.
He wasn't sure if he was going to be allowed to.
Oh, right, yeah. He wasn't. Mava let the shackles off for the night?
At 10 p.m., I got a text message. Are you coming home tonight?
Oof. Dude, what time did you walk in the door?
Midnight.
Now remember, this is like he had those smoke things again that he likes, those drinks. Oof. We're having the steak. And his wife is texting that he was at the Devils game with us early.
He did
the overnight the night before.
Okay. He's an animal. Lay out his day real quick. So you were on the air till what time Friday night?
5 in the morning.
All right, you go home, sleep a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So you're useless in the morning. So she cooks, she gets the kid. You do nothing in the morning. The Devils game started at what time?
12:30.
So you basically get up and leave.
Yeah, he was supposed to meet us at my house so we could all leave together. I was going to drive at 11, and he texts. He's like, dude, it's 10:30. He goes, I'm an hour away. I'll just meet you at the game. I'm like, all right, whatever.
So he just showed up at the seats?
He showed up at the game. We saw him. Chi Chester was there as well. He's a big Devils fan, so we had fun at the game. They took care of us. It was really nice there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hoff went. Then I had to go pick my friend up at the airport, so Hoff wasn't with us. So he took a different car back to meet me at the house. He's there. We get back before him. And I'm like, you still coming, dude? He goes, yeah, I took a nap. I'm sorry.
In the car?
I took a power nap, 20 minutes.
There you are.
I have no idea where I parked, but I was like, dude, I'm tired. And I saw like an empty lot and just drove in there.
Turned the lights off for 20. That's... I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's awesome or if that's pathetic. Is this caller of the day or segment of the day? Look at Hoff really gassing himself up because it's all about him.
Yeah, Hoff made the call.
I told him to choose that segment.
Okay, there you go. Dove, a little executive producing right there. Dovey!
Right,
let's get some actual calls in here before we say goodbye. Anything is on the table. We've been talking some NFL, obviously a lot today off the divisional round. Yesterday, and we'll look ahead to Championship Sunday coming up throughout the course of this week. And what's on Tandare signing, by the way, we did get the details, 5 years, $92.5 million, according to John Heyman. So, I mean, you do the math. It doesn't look good for Pete Alonso. And speaking of which, Peter is calling from Burbank about Alonso. What's up, Peter?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's up? Look, Sal, I love you. BT, I got a slight bone to pick with you. This is all regarding Alonso.
Okay.
It's, good. We see Santander. He just got, what, 5 years, 90 mil?
Yes.
Pete is easily worth at least 100, 120 mil. I think Pete's biggest detriment is the fact that his rookie season was so good, he broke Judge's record. And from that point on, Yankee fans, BT, you included, you kind of compare these two guys' careers, even though they shouldn't be compared. Now you look at Judge breaking all these records, and then you look at Alonso, and you say, oh, he's not worth that type of money, even though they don't play the same position.
Well, a couple things here. First of all, the first thing that you said was that Pete's worth 5 years, 120. I obviously know that that's your opinion, and I respect it, though I disagree. But I would say you're worth what somebody offers you. So until somebody puts 120 or 5 years in front of Pete, he ain't worth it.
I got to push back on that because we just saw Brandon Nimmo get an 8-year contract.
No way
should Brandon Nimmo have gotten an 8-year contract.
Right, but Peter,
paid as a center fielder.
Right, but Peter,
and we all know he didn't profile as a center fielder long term.
Yeah, right. And the Mets. No. But the Mets knew did. Peter. The Mets knew that too. He did not profile as a center fielder. Do you know why Nimmo?
So why did they give him all that money?
Because other teams were willing to do the same thing.
Which means he was worth it.
We should have let him walk because that Nimmo contract is now hamstringing us with Pete, and Pete has a bigger effect on our lineup than Nimmo. Let me ask you a question. If you took out Brandon Nimmo's bat from our lineup last year and kept Alonso, like, would it have really made a difference?
Oh, Alonso didn't do anything either. And by the way, Peter,
but in the postseason, we wouldn't even have gotten to the LCS.
Let's just look at
next year.
All right, but Peter, hold on. I understand what you're saying, but you're missing one core principle here. You say Pete is worth a lot more. The market is saying he isn't. So forget Nimmo and Nimmo in comparison to Pete. Nimmo's market was far greater on the open market in free agency than Pete. That's why he got that contract. Pete is a free agent. If he was worth $125 million, he would have offers around that coming in. Juan Soto, some could say, well, he's not worth $700 million. Oh, he's not? Well, multiple teams were willing to give him $765 million or close to it. That means he was worth it because multiple teams were willing to go that way. Where are the teams that are paying Pete Alonso more than what the Mets offered at 3 years, 70?
Well, you guys just mentioned it before. If everyone knows the Mets are still in on Pete, these other teams, they're not going to put in offers. Because if the Mets really want him, they just know Cohen's going to swoop in at the last moment and up their offer. So they're waiting till they find out the Mets are 100% out on Pete before they actually give him a contract.
Yeah, but no, hold on, Pete. Then listen, a good call. Honestly, yeah. There's some good stuff there. Appreciate
that. Thank you for the call.
No, a very good call. But if that's the case, then why was anybody bidding against the Mets last year with Nimmo? I mean, maybe it's a little more accentuated this year because of the...
I'm not buying that anyway.
Yeah, me neither necessarily. I mean, maybe to an extent with certain players. Like, all right, hey, listen, you can do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, I'm going to just keep throwing, here's 20 more mil, here's 40, here's 50, here's 70 until I get my guy. And really, that the only stare down that they might lose in that situation would be against the Dodgers. They didn't lose it against the Yankees. They won that one. So I think there's a lot of different things here, but I think the bottom line is that Pete is the victim of the position he plays, some of the recent trend in baseball, and while I think he's a good guy and a quirky guy, I don't think that the clubhouse is screaming for him to return.
Peter is in Ozone Park. What's up, Peter?
Hey, what's going on? I'll make it quick. I know we're up against it. I love the show. You guys make my day go by fast.
Thanks, Pete.
I just wanted to say that I know the Dodgers, what they're doing, I think it's completely scummy. I know Ohtani could get away with it because you can't walk 10 feet in Japan without seeing this guy on some kind of advertisement.
Yep.
So he's good with money. But they have over $1 billion in deferred payment. Mookie Betts, $115 million. Freddie Freeman, $57 million. Blake Snell, $65 million. Will Smith, $50 million. Over $1 billion in deferred payment.
Is it illegal?
That's ridiculous.
It should not be allowed, though. That's where I agree.
I don't disagree, but until they change it, they're just playing by the rules. Now they're kind of, they're skirting close to the line where it's like, all right, what's right and what's not.
I still don't get how that works because at some point they're going to have to pay.
Yes, they are. But what they're doing is they're reinvesting money in the interim that they're saving, and that's what the Guggenheim Fund does. So they're getting more money. I don't know enough to say that they're quite going to balance it out or get 8 or 9% of ROI. I don't know that much, but I know that they're not idiots and that they are spending their money wisely. By the way,
I do think
Nets, you're going to show a little respect today at the Garden? MLK is a big game. Always fun for the Knicks at the Garden. You can show a little, little heart today, Knicks.
I told you not to go nuts about the Knicks so early. I was worried about them coming into the year.
Yeah. I mean, now we can't even beat the T-Wolves at home.
They got spanked at home.
They got Edwards just lit them up with eight bombs. Anyway, we got to go.
All right, thanks, Dove Hoff. Everybody called. Listen, Evan and Tiki coming up next. See you tomorrow at 10.